Opening your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, chapter 37. Back the end of May, I mentioned that for the remainder of the year, off and on, I would be doing a series on God's grace. And for this first part, I'm using Joseph. Last week, or week before last, I guess it was. In our first two messages, part one, part two of number one, we looked at Joseph's background. We discovered several things that Rachel, the daughter of Laban that Jacob loved and worked 7 years for. Rachel was barren. Now he had Leah, her sister, because Laban had tricked him and given him Leah, and we talked about that. But Rachel was the one that he loved so deeply. She had given her handmaiden, and Leah had given him a handmaiden, so he really had four wives, which is trouble, I don't know why any idiot would do that, but can't keep up with one. And the Bible says, but God opened her womb. And God gave Joseph to to Rachel and to Jacob. His life was very, very special. But he grew up in a family that was marked by vice and by violence. He was a godly boy. He was a godly man. But he grew up in some of the most ungodly soil that you could ever dream about. Sometimes I get amazed watching God work in lives. I get amazed that God can take a young man or a young girl from such a background and use them the way that He does and bless them so very richly. It gives me hope. Gives me hope as a parent or as a pastor or just as a person. If God can do what He did with Joseph, then I know that He can take my daughter and He can use her for His glory. If He can do what He did with Joseph, He can take your sons and daughters, your children, and use them for His glory also. If He can do what He did with Joseph, then He can take you and me and use us for His glory. And not only can he do all these things, he will do all of these things if we just allow him to. Of course, if you read the Bible, you will soon discover that God specializes in taking what appears to be nothing or useless and making something magnificent out of it. I want to give him myself because he's the only one that can make anything out of me. And he's proved that. So as we begin to consider a little deeper and a little further about the life of Joseph, we're going to begin to see some other things, like how different he was from the rest of his family. Now, he was born number 11 in the family. And that's a pretty good sized group of people. And all of them living under one tent. Son. Yeah, they didn't have a house. They had a tent. And can you imagine? 12 boys and a girl. Under a tent. It's astounding to me that a young man who grew up in the same home with all of the others, with the same conditions, the same environment as all the other siblings, could be so different. It amazes me. But of course, if you are a student of people, you've seen it 1,000 times. If you had brothers and sisters, you've seen it all your life. If you come from a family with more than one child, you know exactly how different the children can be coming out of the same household, being exposed to the same things. You've seen it with your own eyes. No two children are alike. They're very different. Even identical twins are very different. Joseph, however, is so different that he literally stands out above the crowd and in the midst of the crowd. Kind of as Song of Solomon puts it in Song of Solomon 2:2, like a lily among thorns. Or as we would say today, a rose among thorns or between two thorns. He just stands out. That's why I want to use him several more times in this study on God's grace, the magnificence of God's grace. So chapter 37, verse 5, and reading, Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. So I want you to understand, they hated him before he dreamed the dream. But after he dreamed the dream and he told it to them, they hated him even more than they did before. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. Now, that's the way to win friends and influence others. See, yours bowed down. But he shared that, and it brought out hatred. Part of the reason for that hatred was because Joseph, his life is marked by purity. There is no recorded sin of Joseph in the Bible. And he has probably as much space or more space than almost any other individual except David maybe one other. So I want to talk about point one, the purity. One of the most striking ways that Joseph was so different than his brothers was that purity that stood out in his life. Every time we see Joseph in the Bible, he is doing the right thing. Every time. That made him very, very different from his brothers. Purity, integrity, honesty. And that deep desire to do the right things at all times marked the life of Joseph. Genesis 37:2 brings us face to face with that holy heart that he had in his chest. We're told that Joseph, at the age of 17, was tending to his father's sheep with his half-brothers, the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. And you might remember that Bilhah was Rachel's handmaiden that had been given, and Zilpah was Leah's handmaid that had been given. And the brothers, or the children that came from her, was Joseph's half-brothers. These two women, given by Joseph's wives, or Jacob's wives, had let him father two children. The sons of Bilhah were Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah was Gad and Asher. Each one had two. So Joseph is out at the age of 17, tending to his father's sheep. And there's five of them out there. These four and Joseph. And suddenly, something happens. And if you read it, you begin to get the impression that this is kind of like the first time Joseph has been out there with them. Up until this point, he worked in other places or around the home site. But now he's out in the field with these half-brothers. He saw them doing something. We don't know what it was. But he witnessed something, and whatever he witnessed them doing shocked him deeply. This may have been the very first time that Joseph was exposed to the vile nature of his brothers. You see, the brothers of Joseph was, they were pretty mean. They were somewhat evil. Among other things, his brothers were guilty of murder. Genesis 32, 25. They were guilty of incest. Genesis 35, 33. Hatred. Genesis 37, 4. Envy. 37, 11. Enslaving their brother. 37, 38. Lying to their father on numerous occasions, but 37, 31 through 33. And immorality. Genesis 38, 12 through 18. So whatever they were doing at this moment, whatever they were doing, it shook Joseph so much that he came back and told Jacob everything that had happened. He brought a bad report, the Bible says. Now, this eventually caused problems between Joseph and his brother. It may have been that this was the seedbed where the roots of bitterness and hatred in the hearts of his brothers really began to grow, and the roots began to spread. It might have been right here. Some writers accused Joseph of being a tattletale, a tale bearer, if you would. They believe that Joseph brought about the hatred of his brothers because he acted like a goody two-shoes. You know, when you were a kid, you might have used terms like that or some other term. We just use goody-goody. You think you're a goody-goody, don't you? That's what they thought. In reality, Joseph was displaying absolute integrity in going to his father, bringing that bad report concerning his brothers, and telling his father all that had happened. That was perfect and absolute integrity, because Joseph had a responsibility to his father. Whatever his brothers had been doing, it involved the flocks of Jacob, the father. Thus, it involved his good name in that area. He needed to know what was going on with his sons out there. Joseph did the right thing when he went to Jacob and told him about the evil deeds of his brothers. There's some lessons here for us, and we need to see these, and we need to take them to heart today. Number one, Christianity has been hurt over the years because there's not been a purity and a real truthfulness among Christians. So every one of our lives should be marked by purity. And we need to be careful of that. As Christians, as Christ's followers, the God we serve is a holy God, and He expects His people, me and you, to be holy people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it's written there, "Be holy because I am holy." And then, of course, in 2 Corinthians 6:17, he wants us to be separate from this world. Don't act like this world. The evil ways, the evil deeds. He wants us to be different, the way that Joseph was different. You and I should be different in the way that we act or talk or think or live. But sometimes you can't tell the Christians from the non-Christians, the believer from the non-believer. Because we act the same as the non-believers act. In some cases, we tell the same jokes and talk with the same words. And that's a shame. We frequent the same places. But we should be different. There needs to be a purity that is visible. That's a part of our lives. God has asked that for us. Purity ought to be the hallmark quality of your life. If you claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and if you're telling others that you're walking with Him, then your life better reflect that. They're going to get the wrong idea about who Jesus is. Point, the second thing here that we need to take to heart, the lesson, it isn't easy, but we should always strive to do the right thing in every situation. We don't all do that, but we ought to strive to do the right thing in the right way in every situation. Our lives must be marked by integrity. Not only do we have purity, but we need integrity. There's plenty of people willing to do the wrong thing, especially if it makes life easier for them. If it's going to help them, they'll tell a lie. Or stretch the truth. A lot of us stretch the truth. We don't tell no lies. No, no. We just stretch the truth. I don't think God buys that. It's easier for them to do that than to face the situation as it is. But you and I should always do right in spite of any personal cost. Sometimes it's tough. I remember we had moved to Lake Placid from Clewiston. I was 14 in the ninth grade. I'd been driving for a couple of years. I knew how to drive pretty good. And I would go on the job with Dad sometime, and we had a Dodge pickup. I loved to ride in that thing. And I loved to drive it even more. And once in a while, I would take it and go out in the orange groves. But every time I took it, I got it stuck. Because down there we have sugar sand. And sugar sand, you can't drive on it unless you got special tires and at least a four-wheel drive. But I've seen tractors get stuck down there. My dad told me, he said, "Now, son, if you're going to drive it, you're going to take care of it." That means if it gets stuck, you get it out. There's times that we have to face hardship because of what we do. I've had to dig them out. I mean, a dump truck load of sand to be able to move just a foot or two. It's ridiculous. But I didn't have good sense. I'd get right back in it and go right back out there. The same place. I didn't say I was smart. I just had fun. But it cost. Because I could spend hours out there trying to dig that Dodge truck out. And then I finally learned how to drive on that sugar sand. Let about 10 pounds of air out of those tires. Get it down around 20 pounds. It drives better on the sand. I learned a few things. There's others that are around. They don't want to pay the price for their actions. They don't want to do what's right if it's going to cost them personally. They're willing to lie. They're willing to cover it up. And a lot of times it would be easier to face it. But we won't do that because we look for the easy way out. It would have been easier for Joseph just to cover up what his brothers had done and never say anything to his dad. It would have been easier still for him to have joined them in whatever it was they were doing that was wrong. They would have enjoyed that and they'd have patted him on the back and say, "Welcome, welcome." But he was determined to do the right thing, no matter what it cost him to do it. If it cost him everything, he was going to do it right. It's easy to tell little white lies to keep the heat off your life. But I'm here this morning telling you, don't do it. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. It's easy to cheat just a little bit here or there, just to make things easier for yourself. Don't do it. Always be above board in all of your dealings. Don't take advantage of other people. God's watching. God knows. As you measure out, it will be measured to you. He said that, not me. Be above board in all of your dealings. It's easy to cut corners at school and look over at the person's paper next to you. I did it. I know how it is. I wasn't a Christian then. I was supposed to be. I'd cheat. I'd lie. I'm telling you, don't do that. It's a dead-end street. It really is. It's easy to cut corners at work so that you'll fit in with the crowd. Don't do it. Do the right thing. Whatever it costs, in the long run, you're going to be happier. And God will bless you for doing that. The third thing that is the lesson that I hope that we get out of all of this has to do with the proper use of your tongue. We should never be guilty of being a tale bearer, a gossip. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 through 22, 20 through 22. Listen to this. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel lays down. As charcoal to embers, and as wood to a fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, rumors that sink deep into one's heart. Be careful of sharing things. Now, I'm just sharing this so that you can help me pray. And we tell them all the bad things about somebody's life or all the trouble they've been in. Be careful of what the tongue will get you into. If there's something that you must tell, if there's something that you have to say, be sure that you tell the right person. And you don't need to tell 20 of them because there's not 20 right persons. Jacob had a right to know what his sons were doing. So Joseph told him, and him alone. He was the only one that Joseph told. He told his father in an effort to stop the evil. A gossip tells the wrong person because he's not trying to stop the evil. He's spreading it. If you must tell something, and I'm going to close with this. If you must tell something, always tell the truth. That's just what Joseph did. He told the truth, nothing but the truth. He did not embellish the facts. He simply told things as they were. Those that are talebearers, gossips, they love to add just a little bit or subtract just a little bit from the details to suit their own agenda. When we have integrity, when we have purity of heart, when we're living the way that we are supposed to be living, and we're representing Christ. You know, the youth movement in the Assemblies of God for years was called Ambassadors for Christ, or Christ Ambassadors. That means that we represented Him. I wish they'd have never changed that name. Because Christ Ambassadors, that'll hit you. When you realize that you're representing Him, well, I'm here to tell you, every one of you, you're representing Christ. What people see out there that don't know any better, they judge Jesus by what they see in you. If you're losing your temperature. If you're losing your temper, causing your temperature to go up, they're judging that. They're seeing that. Be careful of what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're conducting yourself. Show Christ. It'll make a world of difference in the people you meet. Show kindness. Show generosity. Show truthfulness. Show integrity. Show purity. you'll be blessed. Joseph had a dream. They were putting sheaves of wheat together, and suddenly his sheaf stood up, and all the others gathered around and bowed down. Now the brothers didn't like that, but that was an "and God" moment. And that's why I entitled this message, "And God." The first ones were "but God." Now this one is "and God," because God gave these prophetic dreams to Joseph. The brothers didn't realize it, but one day they would all bow down. Yes, it was in Egypt, but their survival rested on that. When you walk with God and you do what God is asking of you, the blessings will come your way. God makes sure of that. Oh, there might be hardships, and we're going to get into those before long. Joseph went through a lot, but through every bit of it, his integrity was standing tall. His purity was shining out. And every place he went, he was trusted. He was wronged many times, but he was trusted, and God promoted him. If you're looking for a promotion from God, and that's what we're going to get into next, if you're looking for a promotion from God, then be true to him. Represent him properly.